The first passage is Ezekiel 34:11-16. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 5 to 11. Hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The Gospel reading is Luke 15, verses 3 to 7. So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Our reflections for this Feast of the Sacred Heart. The origins of the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus go quite a way back in Christian tradition, to the Middle Ages and such figures as the Franciscan theologian and mystic Bonaventure, and Saints Mechtilda and Gertrude. But it was the special revelation that Margaret Mary Alacoque believed she received in the 17th century in France that eventually led to a church-approved and church-wide feast and devotion. Ironically, Margaret Mary's convictions about the importance of devotion to the Sacred Heart as reparation for abuses and offences against the Blessed Sacrament did not initially receive a warm welcome. In fact, they were dismissed by her superiors as delusions, and it was due mainly to the efforts of her confessor that things gradually changed. I say ironically because Margaret Mary's experience of being marginalised and rejected is what our readings for the feast are about. Her superior's attitude make her a symbol of what devotion to the Sacred Heart means. Becoming aware of Christ's love of the marginalized, the despised, and the worthless, and in turn, praying to become like Christ. The Sacred Heart symbolizes the love that Jesus has for us, especially in his humanity. The term love in the Bible often signals loyalty and commitment to the other person. And, as the New Testament teaches us, Jesus' love for us is the model of loyalty and unconditional commitment, especially committed to those who are marginalized and rejected within society. And this feature is expressed very nicely in our three readings for the feast, from the prophet Ezekiel, from Paul's letter to the Romans, and from Luke's Gospel. The prophet Ezekiel preached in the wake of the Judean exile, when the people of Israel were dispersed throughout the Babylonian Empire as part of that superpower's policy of relocation, in other words, forced migration. As Israelites were made to disappear within the bowels of the vast Neo-Babylonian Empire, the prophet Ezekiel proclaims that God, the Good Shepherd, knows precisely where every lost sheep of Israel is. The superpower may try to remove them from its map of history, but the real map of history is, according to Ezekiel, in God's hands. And even though Ezekiel is not shy of reminding Israel about how unfaithful and rebellious it had been, and how it deserved exile, he is equally adamant about God's complete commitment to his wayward people, and that not one will be forgotten. Paul's letter to the Romans reminds us that we are all marginalized and on the outer, insofar as we are sinners in need of reconciliation. But he assures us Christ died for all sinners, even the worst enemies. The love of Christ is offered to all, and for Paul, this should fill us with great joy. The reconciling love that Christ brings frees us from fear. For its part, the Gospel reading from Luke adds another important element to our understanding of Christ's love for us, and it is the joy or delight that Jesus and all of heaven takes in the salvation of just one sinner. The image of God seeking in every nook and cranny, and God's delight and joy in discovering a sinner languishing in some forgotten corner, is a measure of just how precious we all are in God's sight, even though we may think we are not. Given that this is how much Jesus loves us, then it is surely a powerful motive for us to show the same love and loyalty in return. So our readings for this Feast of the Sacred Heart provide us with three important things to ponder. According to Ezekiel, we are all under God's care, no matter who we are or where we are. According to Paul, the love of Christ takes away any fear that we should have in relation to God. According to the Gospel, God takes divine delight in the reconciliation of each and every sinner. And divine delight, of course, is complete and perfect delight.